The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
This is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. In the studio today, I'd like to welcome Dr. Jason Wagnon. He is a physical therapist with a private practice here in Hot Springs. So welcome, Jason. Tell our listeners a little about yourself. Are you from Hot Springs?
Yeah. Well, Victoria, thank you for inviting me to do this. I appreciate it. I am originally from Southeast Arkansas, Warren, and I have lived here in Hot Springs since 2011. If I remember correctly. I've been doing physical therapy since 2001, and now I've opened a private practice along with my partner, Bill Saunders, who's a Hot Springs native, and it's an outpatient orthopedic clinic, or orthopedic outpatient clinic, and we opened on October 17th.
Oh, wow.
So we're freshly opened.
Yeah.
And so far, we have nothing but positive response, people stopping by, already getting referrals, even though we just started marketing. So far, so good. Hot Springs is a great community. So they've really reached out, and they've opened their arms, and hopefully we'll just continue to grow and get some traction and get going.
Absolutely. Hot Springs is amazing. I'm not a native as somewhere to live in Arkansas, it's spectacular for sure. Well, congratulations on new venture.
Appreciate it.
That's wonderful. So tell me a little about your kind of practice. I know you said that you really focus on patient participation. Is that the word? So tell me about your, kind of how you deal with your patients who come in to see you.
Sure. So we're dealing with primarily musculoskeletal injuries, repetitive stress injuries, repetitive issues like back pain. When someone comes into the clinic, they're going to undergo an evaluation with me, and that's going to include things like manual muscle testing, a range of motion assessment, and discussion over impairments in their daily activities, their functional abilities. So during that evaluation, we'll discuss where their symptoms came from, what those symptoms are, how have they become debilitating, how are they affecting their lives, and what their goals are. Where do they want to get back to, or what do they want to improve on even before they had an injury or before this set in? And those goals range from going back to church to going back to playing football. It's a wide range of what people's goals are. But my main thing is that consistent interaction. You're initially doing that evaluation, starting to build some trust, and then every time someone comes in, making sure we have the time to sit down together, discuss how they've responded to previous treatments, what they think, is this going the right direction? What can we change? What do we need to not change? And really just on a regular basis. Every time they come in, we sit down and we talk. Because it's easy, in any clinic, it's easy to get in a rut and in a pattern of having someone come in and say, okay, here's some exercises. Do these, and they may come three or four times before a therapist sits down with them. So my big thing has always been every time, every appointment, we're going to discuss what's going on and what can be done better and what are our goals and how are they changing as we go. And that plan of care generally goes very well, at least to the best and outcomes.
And evolves.
Oh, it evolves.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
It evolves naturally with that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And patients are their best advocates.
Mm-hmm.
They know their bodies better than anybody else. And at the end of the day, they know where they want to be better than anyone else. So it's unfair to set goals for someone if they're not fully involved in setting those goals.
Right.
And that tends to happen. We tend to say, okay, well, we want your shoulder to move this much better, or we want you to be this much stronger. But ultimately, what is that carrying over to? How does that help you in your daily life? So that's my main focus.
And whenever you think about this kind of holistic approach of caring for an individual, and I love that you said that, you know, patients are their greatest advocate, right?
Absolutely.
But I think sometimes we kind of defer to the doctor, mm-hmm. the expert, right? So kind of speak to that a little bit. Whenever you say that they're their best advocate, what does that mean for you? Do you want to hear, you know, exactly what happened? Or does that mean I Googled something?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
Yes.
what does that mean for you?
So it's coming in. Of course, a lot of people come in scared if
yes.
they've never had yeah. physical therapy
yeah.
or they've had a poor experience somewhere else. Unfortunately, that happens in any field.
Yeah.
And so it's putting them at ease, making it less formal, you know, having some privacy, opening yourself up to listen to whatever their story is. And a lot of times it has nothing to do
yeah.
With, you know, their physical impairment. It may have something to do with their family. And really getting them comfortable and describing what's going on with them and where that's coming from. Explaining why is this weakness in a certain area causing me problems during the day? And then as the professional, we can say, okay, I see what you're saying to me. And we've done a physical exam, and then tying those two things together so that we can do specific exercises or balance training or neuromuscular education, these different things to work on their impairments, on their functional impairments or dysfunctions, but then address really what bothers them. That it's rare that anyone ever comes in and says, I can't bend my knee past 95 degrees.
Right.
You know, those numbers really don't matter to them right. initially. They say, I can't bend down and reach in the cabinet. Now, if somebody's had a total knee surgery, those numbers become very important to them
right.
because they know by that point, talking with their surgeons, what that knee should bend to. So it's really a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it's very formal, measurement-driven, and sometimes it's really purely about what can I do during the day? Can I go grocery shopping and not have to lean on the cart? So it's about people being open and explaining, really thinking about prior to coming in, a lot of times it helps, thinking about our daily activities. Because most of us go through the day, we do our stuff, we do our things, and we never really think about what we're doing, the repetitive tasks we're following, the patterns that we're following through our home. So coming in, it helps when somebody's thought about that. But as a professional, you can help them identify those patterns and do that kind of thing.
Sounds like it would be helpful for you if they write some things down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A prepared patient makes it a lot easier on us and on them. The Google search is double-sided.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the best thing ever, and it can be the worst thing ever because a lot of times they find worst-case scenarios. And so there's just built-in fear.
Yeah.
And you just have to sit down. Sometimes we go to those same Google articles or those same articles out there. We Google the same things and say, okay, look, this is what they found. They're showing you the worst-case scenario. But this is more generally what we see. This is more middle of the ground.
So let's start here.
Let's start to quell some fear. One instance which is really common in our field is a total knee replacement. When someone comes in after a total knee replacement, it's usually 1 or 2 days after surgery.
Well,
they're in severe pain. Quite often they're nauseous from the anesthesia. Someone has to bring them in. Getting in and out of the car to get there was not easy.
Yeah.
They're completely fatigued and wore out. And they're so worried on that first day that we're going to make them do something. It's very rare on that first day that we do any more than discuss what's going to happen. Discuss your surgery. Discuss what you're going through. Talk about the plan of care, and usually you see that sigh of relief. Okay, we're on the same page. You don't want to increase my pain unnecessarily, just like I don't. And we're talking about similar goals. We want to get the same place, and there's a plan in place. We're going to get that in place, and we're going to follow that plan. give them some idea of what to expect. It's really good, too, on these surgeries. I really like to have people come in. Free consultations are fine. We hadn't put that in the marketing yet, but it's very rare that a surgical office has the time to really explain to someone what to expect post-surgical. Right. So I really like to talk to people, and we've really gotten into doing what's called prehab, which is having someone come in for a couple of weeks prior to the surgery to do some strengthening, some stretching, to build trust, comfort with the clinic. And during that week or two, three or four visits, we can talk, okay, this is what you can expect. This is what's going to happen. These are the possibilities. These are best case scenarios, worst case scenarios. And that generally decreases the overall physical therapy time by a significant amount. It's that fear, I think, that a lot of times keeps people out. We had discussed earlier about different situations, people coming, home health, inpatient services, having great concerns about what to expect. Right. I don't work directly in those fields currently. I do know people who work in home health, and I do know people who work in these different environments. I would be more than happy to talk to anybody. Anybody's welcome to call, and any assistance I can give, referring to these other you know, not disciplines, but sections of our discipline, I'd love to talk to them. Sometimes it helps just to be able to talk to somebody. And you know, anecdotes about, okay, my family member went through this, and this is what we saw, and it's what we did. And we say a patient's their best advocate, and many of these patients are alone. And it's hard to advocate for yourself.
And they just don't know, right? It's really a lack of knowledge and trusting in the professional to know what's best. And I love this idea of building that relationship before you even have the surgery. Because it seems like that would just really decrease your fear and stress level so much about, you know, like you were saying, just having to come in after the surgery. Kind of how scary that is. And that would really eliminate so much of that.
It does. Yeah. It's great when you get repeat patients. They've been there for one thing and they come back because you've already built that trust.
Right.
And they know to ask you. A first-time patient has talked to their neighbors. They've talked to their friends at church. They've talked to the grocery store. And yes, some of those will say, I had a great experience. But people really talk about like to talk about a bad experience. Oh, my knee surgery did this, or my shoulder, you know, I had all. And we tend to exaggerate things, just all of us do. It makes it more exciting and a better story. And that's where a lot of the fear comes from, as non-professionals, you know, and that's understandable. But yeah, as a professional, it's good to be able to talk to people and quell some of those fears and give them some reasonable expectations of what's going to happen.
So let me ask you about how that works. If you are going to have a knee replacement, obviously you're working with a physician at that time. So are they going to, are you going to have to ask the physician about coming to speak to you before the surgery? Is that some way that you're going to advocate for yourself? Or can they just reach out to you regardless?
Sure. And in Arkansas, we have direct access. Which means you can go directly to your physical therapist. And we accept most insurances. And what we tend to do, what's more common now, especially with someone you know, is the patient will reach out to us. And then we'll do an evaluation, and then we'll send that evaluation to their primary care provider.
Yeah, okay.
Be that nurse practitioner or physician. And then we've got such a close sponsor in here in Hot Springs that they'll sign off for insurance purposes, and we'll treat that patient. And if everything is going great, great. If we find during that plan of care that, okay, this is not going as we expected, we need some diagnostic testing, or we need to do something out of our purview, then we'll send you to your primary care physician.
Okay.
The other thing is, you've already been to your primary care. They've said, okay, you probably need some physical therapy. And generally, what they do is they say, okay, let's see who's closest to your home. Let's see, you know, who, you know, do you already know somebody? And they'll write your referral, or they'll send that out to whoever you ask. Then you call our office, or if we get the referral, we'll call you and bring you in and go from there. As far as surgeries, that is a mixture of primary care, physical therapy. Obviously, it's less invasive to do physical therapy. It's less expensive. So if we can do physical therapy and reduce your symptoms to a functional level.
So that would be at the start. Preferably.
At the start, absolutely.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's very rare to go immediately to surgery.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old, after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation, 501-620-4800.
So an instance for that would be like maybe if you had like a injury in sports or a scenario like that. So that would be something that you might, and I'm thinking of children primarily, and you do see children, correct?
Correct. Yes.
All right. So that might be a instance where perhaps at a football game or track meet or something, your child had an injury. You take them to urgent care or something because it's usually on the weekend, right?
Yes. Yes.
And those happen. So just kind of speak to that process a little bit, maybe for maybe a parent that's listening that that. Hopefully not, but in the future they may have an injury, child that's playing sports right now.
Yeah, if a child's playing sports and they're injured during that play, usually there's a trainer. Hopefully there's a trainer there.
Okay. Right.
There can be a physician there. There could be a physical therapist there. And they may not be there specifically for a team, but there's somebody in the crowd. Somebody's dad. Somebody's aunt. You know, there's somebody there that does an initial assessment. And they say, okay, this doesn't look like an emergency room visit. We haven't fractured anything.
Okay.
Maybe let's go to urgent care. Let's just, you know, let them assess it, go that step further. Urgent care will generally refer to your primary care provider if they feel like further treatment is necessary. Really, it's for diagnostic testing because we don't do that.
Gotcha.
We don't.
Okay.
We're not responsible saying, okay, this x-ray needs to be done or this MRI needs to be done. That would be a physician, nurse practitioner, someone in that realm. But there are certainly cases where the injury is not requiring that diagnostic testing. It's obvious, okay, we have this sprain, it's a grade one sprain, and they're able to come directly to physical therapy. And then we can assess that injury at a higher level, spend a little more time and say, okay, yes, this looks like something we can address, and we'll just send that referral to your physician, or, okay, we need to wait. We need to get you to the hospital. We need to get you a doctor who can get an x-ray ordered, get an MRI ordered. The goal is always to protect the child, make sure that injury is not going to affect them down the road.
Right.
That's the main thing, that things don't get worse, because they can. If we ignore injuries or we misidentify injuries for whatever reason. So we all need to work together on that. Now, as far as I know, there are no weekend clinics set up here. I don't know that that's something we'll do in the future. I have worked in those in the past where Saturday morning clinics are available. Child's injured on Friday. We're not sure how bad it is. We'll see them for a free evaluation, and then we can help guide them in whatever direction that is. And certainly, I'm open to calls on Monday morning. If a parent's just concerned, whoever
it's a place of evaluation versus like an ER visit or something
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely, yes. And we can help get them in the right direction. We're not going to start a plan of care until we're sure that it's not going to be detrimental, that it's going to be the right thing to do. And quite often that involves going to the primary care physician, for sure.
And so an injury like that, obviously plan of care, but hopefully it's going to be more of a short-term type.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a friend sent me a picture of his son's ankle 2 weeks ago. His son plays college basketball in Minnesota. And so sometimes that's what it is. Can you look at this picture? And just from this picture, what can you recommend? Well, my recommendation was rest, ice, compression, elevation. You're basic, because from that picture, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It appeared to be a moderate injury that would require possibly an MRI. So that's what I told him. And so sometimes it's just that. The parents want to know, do I let him play Monday? Do I need to go to the doctor? And you can help facilitate that. And you say, okay, bring them in, put them on crutches, bring them by Monday, bring them by Tuesday. I can write a note to the coach, let them know he needs to be off until we assess this further, and they'll accept that, and then we can go from there. But what you certainly don't want to do is put a child back out there not being sure.
Because sometimes children don't realize, right?
Correct. They either don't realize or they just really want to play.
Right.
That's a lot of it. They just really want to play. Yeah. And in your mid-teens, we see a lot of kids, versus exaggerating as we get older sometimes, dampening their systems. They're like, oh, no, I don't really hurt.
Yeah.
And then you see their face and you can tell that it's more going on there. Yeah. And they're telling their parents, no, I'm fine.
But, you know, I think we watch, because I watch NFL football, watched a game last night where, you know, players get hurt and then they're right back in the game. You know, it's just almost kind of normalizing that, sacrificing your body to win the game. But we need to differentiate that they are professionals making millions of dollars.
That is completely right. Correct. They have literally signed a contract
right.
that says, I'm willing to take these chances with my health to make this amount of money.
Yeah.
Our children have not done that.
I think our children sometimes don't understand the difference, right? And that's where we have to be that kind of middle advocate for them.
That is 100% correct. And it's about talking to the parents and the child together. Sometimes it's the parents that say, I really want them back out there. And that's a really hard conversation.
Yeah.
You really have to be vigilant and say, okay, it's not a good idea.
Think long term.
We want to think long term. This child's been playing baseball since he was 5. He's in 7th grade. He has an injury that could ruin his, you know, the rest of his athletic career. He may not play in high school if we don't stop now. The harder ones are 11th, 12th grade. I'm expecting a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is so important to get your physicians involved, your surgeons involved. Everybody's got to get on the same page. Okay,
yeah.
What is the safest way to get this athlete back to play, not cost them the possibility of a scholarship, but also not put them in danger of permanent injury down the road? Because you could get a scholarship and you could blow a knee out your first year, and then when you're 50 years old, you can't walk. So we really have to think about the long term. And
are you going to get that NFL million-dollar contract? Very rarely happens,
right.
But having your college education paid for is a huge motivation, right? I can see how that would become.
Yes, that's for many kids. That's the only way they think they can even go to college.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that play college ball, and they've had a lot of surgeries.
Yeah.
And I tell a lot of people this: I work with a lot of athletes and have for over 2 decades, and I've got a lot of friends that are high level athletes, and I played ball, but not the college level. The few parents that I know who really don't push their kids in sports are people who play college ball a lot of times, because they just dealt with the injuries, and it didn't take them where they wanted to be. And then they had to get other jobs where those injuries were really debilitating. So,
and when you hit about 50,
I'm 46,
okay.
I guess.
Maybe
I feel
40.
It, I promise you, yes. Usually about 35, 36, we start to tip the scale, so to speak.
Okay.
We start to realize that we're not healing overnight. We're not healing in a day. We're not even beginning to heal for a couple of days. So that's what gets amazing when you hit that mark. If somebody comes in at 25 and they say, okay, I hurt, my leg hurts. You say, what'd you do? And they say, well, I did this yesterday. When somebody comes in at 36, 37 and above, they say, my shoulder hurts. You say, what do you do? They say, I have no idea. You know, our bodies are healing slower, so that inflammatory process doesn't even set in a lot of times for 2 or 3 days. They call that delayed onset muscle soreness.
Did I hurt something, or is this my new natural
level of
pain?
Or am I just getting old?
Right, yeah.
And you explain to people, you know, old's not a diagnosis. It is a factor. Age is a factor in how we heal and these type of things. But it's not okay to say, okay, I'm old, so I'm going to sit down and not do anything.
Yeah.
It's actually the exact opposite. As we get older, we need to be more active. We just have to be more aware of what activities cause us injury, that kind of thing. So that 30, 35-year-old mark, that's where I see people that have been going to the gym a lot of times for 10, 15 years, And that's a hard conversation too. We're able to sit down as professionals, identify what exercises, what activities are truly causing mm-hmm. you the problem. How are we going to change those? And sometimes, okay, that lift that you've been doing for 10 years, you don't need to do that anymore.
Oh, wow.
We're all different. You can do things I can't, vice versa. And we just need to get that out of your life. There's other ways to do things, and that's really hard.
I love that. So it's interesting that you're actually working out to feel better, but yes. It could actually be what's causing the problem, and you don't even realize.
I've done it to myself. Yeah. And as therapists, we're the worst at diagnosing ourselves.
Yeah.
And you want to do a specific thing, like at one time I want to do 100 push-ups in a row. And I was about 35, it just happens to be. And I got up to about 70 push-ups in a row. And one morning I was throwing my trash in the back of the truck, and my shoulder, I thought I had ripped something loose. I thought I had torn my rotator cuff. So I laid off. I was a therapist at the time, obviously. Another therapist looked at it, so let's let it calm down. And it was just a few days, started feeling better. Okay, so we're okay. And then I got back into my normal regimen, started doing the push-ups again, getting back into that, and I did something else small. I thought, man, it never hit me that what was happening was I was injuring my shoulders with the push-ups. It wasn't throwing the trash in the back of my truck. Yeah. It was that repetitive activity. I had an MRI. What the MRI showed is that I was having small tears, and they were healing when I laid off, and I'd get a small tear. And so once I worked, again, ignoring myself, worked with professionals and talked to some people, I said, okay, let's just quit doing push-ups. They're not necessary. And again, the 35, 36, it's hard to say, oh, I can't do this anymore. Now, as of today, like I did push-ups yesterday. I have modified that exercise. Mm-hmm. I'm not pushing, trying to do 70 of them. But, you know, as a physical therapist, that's what we want to help people in experiencing that. So we get a lot of active people. We get a lot of inactive people. But it's usually, it's the more repetitive things that we do that cause us injury. And it could be that, okay, I've lived in the same house for 20 years. My dishwasher's in the same place. Mm-hmm. My dryer's in the same place. So every day I'm going through these patterns, and I'm using my right arm to reach into the dryer. I'm using my left arm to reach into the dishwasher. Now my right shoulder hurts. And trying to figure out ways where we can change those patterns, break them up a little bit, so we're not getting that just repetition on the joints, repetition on this and that, on the back. Back's a big one.
It's so truly a holistic approach, looking at what's going on in your life. And, I mean, commend you for, kind of sift through that to figure out what it is that's going on. But, Jason, we are almost out of time. So I just speak to a moment, because some of our listeners, as you know, being afraid to come into something new like physical therapy, just speak to that for a moment, how you can help someone who might be afraid to come in.
Yeah, feel free to call me, whether you're looking to come into outpatient physical therapy like I offer, or you're looking to go into inpatient rehab because that's your options at the time, or you're transitioning from inpatient to rehab. There's just a stepping stone. A lot of times we're the last step where we're really getting back to the home. There's home health. Just realize that we're here to help you get better.
Yeah.
And we're not looking to make your pain increase. And we really are all trying to get on the same team and work together to get you where you want to be. I'm open to taking any calls from anybody.
Awesome.
And taking time. And that may not be, like I said, for what I do specifically, but if we can quell some fears and get more people being out there and accepting services, that'd be great.
So you could be a wonderful starting point.
Yes, absolutely. Just a contact point, if nothing else.
Yeah. All right. So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, where you're located, if you're on social media.
Sure. So our clinic's name is Wagner Physical Therapy. We are located at 5500 Central Avenue. It's easier to say the corner of Central and Amity, where the Harps is in that same area. Elite Home Health is back in there. We have been open for, this is starting our fourth week. Although we have a lot of experience in this field, this is just the newest clinic that we've opened. Happy to be here in Hot Springs. Our phone number is 501-701-4339. We're also have a Google business listing. We're on Facebook. Feel free to contact us in any way at any time, and we'll be there to help you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Jason Wagnon. So I appreciate you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Wonderful conversation. And I love that we kind of talked about this, you know, parents advocating for their children as they navigate sports, really. You know, it is a difficult thing to watch your child be injured and what to do for them. Yeah, very scary. Absolutely. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Victoria. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.